first artesian wells form, when groundwater becomes trapped in between layers of clay or shale and then becomes pressurized. If that aquifer is tapped by a well, water rises to the surface and even flows naturally out of the ground, and it's generally safe to drink. A survey from the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation found there were once almost 11,000 artesian wells in the state. As many as 1,000, though, have dried up. A new report suggests ways that local communities can protect their local artesian wells. This comes amid an ongoing dispute over a proposed water bottling operation that would use artesian water in Bayfield County. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is there an artesian well in your community? How do you think water from these aquifers should be regulated? Do you think that a bottling operation should be able to tap into Wisconsin's artesian wells? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll start with a look at the proposed water bottling plant in Bayfield County. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. I talked with her on Wednesday. Well, let's go back to last spring. Danny, a resident of Duluth, wanted to sell water from this artesian well located on property near Lake Superior. Concerns from residents, the proposal initially rejected by Bayfield County. Can you tell us what led the opposition to this this plan?
Well, I think people have very strong feelings about water and water quality and the sustainability of water resources and the effects that a project like this would have on the watershed and area wetlands. And so I don't think it sat very well with many people in the area that this startup would take artesian water and sell it for profit.
There's the Great Lakes Compact, which comes into play a lot of times when people want to use water near the Great Lakes. It's complicated. How does it fit in here?
Well, the Great Lakes Compact, as you know, is a landmark agreement that was passed by Congress and signed into law in 2008 to prevent large-scale water diversions from the Great Lakes. And so some have argued that this exploits a loophole in the compact or violates the intent of the agreement. But under that compact, water can be removed from the Great Lakes Basin in containers of roughly 6 gallons or less.
Now, this proposal initially rejected quite a while ago. Why is it still in action? What's the latest?
Well, right now, as you know, the Bayfield County Board of Appeals upheld a denial of Crystal Clear's request for a special land use permit to harvest and sell water from property owned by Crystal Myshack and her father in Herbster. And so that decision was appealed in Bayfield County Circuit Court, and I believe it's since been moved to Barron County, and so that litigation is still ongoing. And I think there is a brief due in the case coming up on Monday.
In your reporting on this, Danny, there was some question raised over, you know, whether the local government element, in this case the county, can stop something like this with local zoning laws and things like that versus what's under state authority. Is that part of what's at issue in these lawsuits now?
When the Bayfield County Board of Appeals was hearing arguments from both sides on this issue, you know, Crystal Myshack's attorney basically argued that the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has sole permitting authority over groundwater wells, and that would include things like piping and storage of water from a well. And he said that the county really that this didn't fall into their authority. But the town's attorney, the town of Clover, which is better known as Herbster, Max Lindsay, he contended that the county is basically exercising their authority over land use. And he argued that the proposal didn't qualify for a permit because it lies in this area that is zoned for residential development and recreational use, not for a bottled water plant.
Have we seen other disputes over artesian wells around Wisconsin? What's happened to them?
So there have been proposals in the past. I'm not sure if it's specific to artesian wells, but there have been proposals to pump groundwater for bottled water by the company Perrier around 2000. And there was another proposal in 2015 by Trigg Solberg that ran afoul of the Great Lakes Water Compact because he wanted to take well water from Vilas County and bottle it in Minocqua. And that essentially would be moving that water outside of the Lake Superior Basin into another watershed. And Peter could tell you more about that.
What's happening now with this story, this effort in Bayfield County? What are you watching for next?
So we'll be following the litigation and any changes that Bayfield County might make related to concerns over artesian water use and the groundwater aquifer up there. You know, Norfolk College put out this report making some recommendations of how the county could possibly move forward to protect their aquifer. And so we'll be looking to see if any action comes out of that. And I believe they are taking some action right now to study the artesian well aquifer, or I'm sorry, artesian water aquifer in Bayfield County.
As we wrap up, Danny, you mentioned earlier a strong, almost visceral reaction from the community to plans to bottle the water. County officials said community members submitted more than 1,600 comments of opposition to the plan. Can you talk a little more about just the type of opposition, the feeling people had about these wells?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked, Rob. I mean, I think there was a lot of fear that this proposal would not only threaten the sustainability of water resources, you know, tribes in northern Wisconsin also raised issues with tribal treaty rights because the proposal is located in ceded territory. And so how would that affect their rights in the area? And, you know, opponents also argued that the proposal hadn't undergone a complete environmental review and that this would essentially open the door to other corporations to come in with proposals to bottle and sell water like Nestle or other bottled water companies.
Danny, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. She joined us Wednesday to talk about an ongoing dispute over a potential water bottling operation near Lake Superior. Now we continue our conversation about artesian wells, taking a look at a report out of Northland College about how to protect these natural resources. Peter Annan is a director of the Mary Griggs Burke Center for Freshwater Innovation. The Burke Center is based out of Northland College in Ashland. Peter, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be with you.
Well, you released this report, recommendations on how to protect artesian resources here in Wisconsin. What are some of your main recommendations?
Well, the most interesting thing that I think that came out of this controversy is that no one really knows what the status is of the groundwater system in northern Bayfield County. We know that there's abundant artesian wells in the area. You know, a lot of people have them just outside their front door. They're kind of a local status symbol, even if you will. But not the county, not the state, not the federal government, none of them, those entities have mapped the artesian aquifer entirely and quantified how much water is coming out of that special aquifer on a regular basis and what the natural recharge rate is. So our first recommendation was, hey, you know, from a baseline standpoint, the first thing that the county really should consider doing is just figuring out what's going on underneath our feet here in the Bayfield County area.
Before we get to the other recommendations, can you talk about a little more about what makes artesian aquifers different from the groundwater we might find elsewhere in the state? I gave a very short nuts and bolts definition earlier.
Yeah, and I'm not a scientist, right? I'm a journalist and a policy guy. But the way I describe it to, you know, my kids and others, if you think of a groundwater system that's normal, it's not under pressure. And you have to, you know, drill down and lift the water out with a pump to have it, you know, enter your home or business. But the difference with an artesian well is it is under pressure because it's confined. Think of it like you have a water balloon that's being squeezed a little bit. And if you pierce that, right, the water comes squirting out. And that's what an artesian system is. And again, very layman's term. There might be scientists listening who are cringing at that explanation. And they're really unique. And you didn't used to be so unique in Wisconsin. That's one of the things that we found in the research of this report and that Danielle referred to a little bit in your intro. There used to be amazing artesian wells throughout much of the state, and many of them are gone or shadows of their former selves. And that's really, I think, driving a lot of the angst in Bayfield County is that citizens here have made it clear, you know, they've spoken and they really have a lot of concern about protecting this unique groundwater system that we have here. And again, what we're But one of the things we were just pointing out in the report, it's really hard to protect something when it hasn't even been fully quantified scientifically.
Yeah, so supposing they take that first recommendation, Bayfield County map, these aquifers, what kind of protections then would you hope to see them take up for them?
Well, yeah, and then the next thing is that, you know, that there is some precedent for creating a special zone, a special area of concern. And there, you know, there's a lot of precedent for that with, wilderness areas and other things. Not that this would necessarily be a wilderness, but that the county or even the state could designate that this artesian zone, once it had been thoroughly mapped scientifically and defined, could have extra special protections over it that would help the county and perhaps others to evaluate and regulate these kinds of proposals so that people aren't caught off guard.
We're talking to Peter Annan, director of the Mary Griggs Burke Center for Freshwater Innovation at Northland College. We're talking about the Burke Center's suggestions on how to protect artesian wells around the state, focusing on Bayfield County, where there's a proposal to bottle some of that artesian water. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have artesian waters in your community? Did you used to? What questions do you have about how to protect them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Peter Annan, director of the Mary Griggs Burke Center for Freshwater Innovation based at Northland College. We're talking about ways to protect artesian aquifers around Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. This is a concern in your community. If you're in Bayfield County, do you have thoughts on this idea of bottling some of that aquifer water and selling it? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Eugene is with us in Viola. Hey, Eugene.
Well, hello. Good afternoon. In the village of Viola, I can count at one time 10 artesian wells. We're down to about 3 or 4, and I've got one beside the back porch. Originally, this is an old Victorian with about 10 rooms in it. They ran the well into the basement and ran it into the sewer. I can no longer do that. Now, to keep the well, I had to bring it up to state code, which I did. And I've got a sprinkling system. I use it for watering the yard and watering the car. That's all I can do with it. I've got to get the water tested every 5 years, and I've got to get the well checked every 10. Now, if you go to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve above the Farge, I can count at least 5 artesians up there.
Eugene, thanks a lot for the call and for sharing that with us. First of all, he said in his own community, Eugene has seen a decline in the number of aquifers in the area. Peter, is that something we've seen elsewhere in the state?
Yeah, it was one of the most surprising things to me. You know, I've been following water for decades and had known about the artesian systems in places like Viola and Lafarge area and things like that. But when you dig into the deep history, I mean, we were talking about the state being home to really remarkable artesian wells, like one in Prairie du Chien, known as the Great Artesian Well, that was formerly used to shoot 60 feet into the air. It was really a local landmark. And in the report, we have a photo of that courtesy of the Wisconsin Historical Society, or another one in Green Bay that was even taller, maybe 90 feet in the air. And now that groundwater system is maybe 300 feet below the surface. And then, of course, one of the more famous cases is in Waukesha, Wisconsin, not so much artesian wells, but a lot of springs there. The community was known as Spring City more than 100 years ago. And there was just springs all over town. They were a major national tourist destination. And most of those springs have dried up. And kind of remarkably, Waukesha was so hurting for water that it became one of the first applicants to receive water from the Great Lakes under a diversion approved by the Great Lakes Compact. So I think that's sort of the take-home message here of the white paper, is that many communities in the past have not, or the state or local governments have not done a great job of protecting their really unique groundwater artesian systems. And the residents of Bayfield County have made it clear they don't want to go down that path.
Thanks for that call, Eugene, at 800-642-1234. Steele joins us now at Appleton. Steele, hi.
Hey, everybody. Hey, around 73, 74, Community College in southeast Arizona, and we were driving along the Mexican border pretty close, and all of us, and so it's like 4,000 feet high desert, and so we were going along, and all of a sudden, as we were going on, we saw some green along the side, and it was artesian water, and we followed the road for about an hour, and then it, you know, turned into private property, and it was just a beautiful microclimate. And that's a stark, you know, green to nothing.
But Steele, anyway. Thanks for the call. We don't have that contrast with desert here, Peter, but are we forming unique ecosystems around these natural artesian aquifers?
Well, this groundwater, a lot of these springs, so we have the artesian wells, and then, as the white paper mentions, when we have the cracks in the geologic formations above these pressurized aquifers, that's where springs bubble out. And this is really cold, really clean water that can often end up being part of the headwaters of cold water ecosystems like trout streams and those kinds of areas. And, you know, I mean, it's not uncommon. I have literally, walking through the woods in Bayfield County, stumble upon a spring. I had no idea it was there, and it was pouring right into the headwaters of a trout stream. And they're kind of all over up here. And in addition to the artesian wells really being an important natural feature for humans, these springs, which are naturally gurgling out of the ground, are really, really important to the cold water ecosystems that we have up here in the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state, even, you know, in the Kickapoo Valley.
Steele, thanks for the call. Scott joins us now in New Glarus. Scott, hello.
Yes, hello. Seems like the premise of the show is, what can we do to protect these artesian wells? And I have a very succinct answer. Do not allow them to be commercialized. I think that would solve the problem.
Scott, thanks for the call. I know, Peter, there is demand for artesian water in various sizes of bottle. Is that the answer, as Scott says, to not commercialize this artesian water?
Well, I think, you know, one of the issues for places like Bayfield County is finding that balance, right, for the county between, you know, reasonable commercial development and protecting the environment and protecting unique resources like the artesian groundwater system that's here. And that really is a decision for the local officials to make. Bottled water is obviously enormously controversial. We visit that in the white paper. As Danielle mentioned, the Perrier case was one of the most celebrated controversies over bottled water in Wisconsin in the early 1990s. But again, what the white paper says is we can't, I think, you know, definitively protect a system when we haven't even measured it, determined its fragility, and all those things. Really, those broader questions, I think, really need to stand on a foundation that's science-based, and that way those decisions, I think, can be more legally sound, and the decision makers can be more confident that they're not sort of that they have the information that they need to make these hard decisions from a governing standpoint.
You've mentioned a couple times, Peter, that this artesian source water is really quite clean. Are there concerns about pollution of these artesian wells one way or another? And I've heard some concerns raised even for tapping that. If you lower the volume of that, there's concerns about pollution.
Yeah, well, I think there's always concern about pollution in groundwater systems. There's a lot of concern right now in the state, as you know, Rob, about PFAS and some of these other emerging contaminants. In the northeastern part of the state, where they have a karst geology, limestone geology, where contamination can move through very quickly, and we have some high concentrations of large dairy operations. There are issues with concerns about groundwater over there. I mean, really, all over the state, there are a lot of issues with groundwater and potential contamination, and all over the nation. I mean, this is not just a Wisconsin thing. I think the beauty of a rural, you know, heavily forested county like Bayfield County is that it is in a position to make decisions now that can help prevent the county from going down the road that other parts of the state have gone, and to be more proactive about water quantity and water quality issues. We're in the middle of a global water crisis. Many parts of the United States, and especially now the Southwest, has gone through a two-decade mega drought. We have Lake Powell and Lake Mead, the two largest reservoirs in the country, and the Colorado River system are at all-time lows. And so it's a quantity and quality issue. And yeah, I think there are always concerns about water quality with these artesian systems as well, but they do tend to be quite pristine.
Peter, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
You're welcome, Rob.
Peter Annan is director of the Mary Griggs Burke Center for Freshwater Innovation out of Northland College. Earlier, we heard from WPR reporter Danielle Kading, based out of Superior. We talked with them about freshwater aquifers here in Wisconsin.